On our final Sunday of Easter, reminded of a skill that we've had to practice all the way back in Advent, and that is patience. We have more waiting to do. In Advent, we were waiting for the coming of Christ. We saw the coming in a manger. We saw the manifestation of God's presence among us in Christ throughout our season of Epiphany. At Lent, we journeyed with Christ to the cross. And now, through the season of Easter, we have remembered the death and resurrection of Christ. And now we may think the story should be over. Christ has conquered sin, has conquered death. We're now the new life should unfold. The redemption and restoration of all the earth should spring forth. And that is exactly what the apostles, the disciples, were thinking as well. They had been waiting with Jesus for 3 years to see this fulfillment of the restoration of the kingdom of Israel, to see Jesus fully take on this role of Messiah as they would understand it. And now they're probably saying, all right, Lord, we had some twists and turns along the way. We had certainly thought that that was not true, and now we know with certainty that it is. Thanks to the resurrection, surely now must be the time the story concludes. Now will you restore the kingdom of Israel? They must hear as we must hear. No, it is not quite yet. It is not for us to know the times that have been appointed by the Father. We still have waiting to do. The end of the story has not quite arrived. And so we must ask the follow-up question then, what do we do as we wait? This is also similar to our questions in Advent. How do we wait for Christ's return? We get one pretty clear and direct answer today that the angels give to the disciples as they stand up there looking at the sky, that that's not what they are to do. We're not to sit around looking at the sky for Jesus to return. And the disciples even knew the exact spot where Jesus had left. And they hear the angels say, Jesus will return in the same way in which he left. And they know that they stood there and waited. Eventually that would be where Jesus would return, likely, according to what the angels say. And even so, they are not to do that. They're not to stop their lives and just gaze up at the heavens waiting for Christ. They are to engage with the world. They are to leave that spot. Which tells us we too are not to just sit around and gaze up at the sky and wonder when Jesus will return. We too are to engage with the world around us. I'm reminded in our second reading today that that engagement can sometimes be difficult, can be challenging. There can be fiery ordeals. We heard last week about how we can be challenged by those who don't share in the same perspective that we have of the resurrection. That as we do engage in this world, we may encounter other perspectives. We may encounter some pushback in our faith. It may not always be a straightforward process. And we hear today in our second reading the source of this challenge and this tension. We hear that the problem we have in following Christ and persisting in our faith journey is the roaring of this lion, the devil. Now this, I think, is a good analogy that our author draws, but we should first acknowledge that a roaring lion often is not prowling. A typical lion, when it's stalking its prey, when it's prowling around trying to devour its next meal, is probably not making a whole lot of noise. It's in fact probably trying to be very quiet so that you don't scare off your prey. So typical lions are not roaring as they prowl. So why does our author say that that is how this lion prowls? Well, because I think the roaring is the prowling method for us. The roaring is to shake up our perspective, is to bombard us with other visions, other voices, other perspectives than we should have of following Christ, and seeks to disrupt that ability for us to do so. This roaring, I think, comes both internally and externally. These other voices that say there are other ways to live in this world apart from Christ. And if we give heed to the roar of the falsehoods and the lies that this lion would share with us, we will be devoured. We will find ourselves on paths that lead to brokenness, to sin, to death. The roaring of this lion comes to strip away our joy, to prevent us from living as we should. And we hear that we are to resist this, to stand fast, to hold firm in our faith, to continue to follow Christ and the words that Christ would share with us. Of course, this is a challenge for us. Sometimes that roaring makes sense to us. Sometimes we get discouraged because of how long it is taking, or because God isn't working the way we think God should, and that a voice that says that there is a way for us to get and enforce our will and our desire upon the world seems to sound pretty good to us from time to time. I think this is how that lion can roar. Of course, there's also just the difficulty we have with waiting all together. We are not always incredibly patient. And so we have a hard time persisting in this faith, continuing to follow Christ as we know that we should, continuing to engage in our mission of celebrating and sharing the love of Christ as we wait for Christ to return. And so we need God's help in this. We need God to help sustain us, and God does. And we hear of many gifts that are given to us along the way to help us be rooted in our faith, to help us continue to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and to follow even as we wait for Christ's return. One gift that we receive is found in both our first reading from Acts and in our second reading from 1 Peter. That is the gift of fellowship. You hear this for the disciples as they too wonder what they should do as they wait to be clothed with this power from on high. They're uncertain of what their next steps are to be. So what they do is they gather together and pray. This is a gift that we are invited to share in as we find ourselves in uncertain places, not always clear about how we are to wait until we receive direction from God, until we receive this power of God from on high. And we are invited, I think, to pray together. Indeed, this is what we get to do week after week. We gather together in prayer as we seek to discern the ways in which God is present among us, and as we seek to discern the ways in which God leads us out from this place to engage our mission and purpose of celebrating and sharing the love of Christ. This gives us clarity in how we are to wait through this meeting in prayer. And there's another gift of fellowship that is stressed today in our second reading, and that is an awareness of others who are connected to the same body of Christ, others gathered across time and space who have to go through the same process we go through, who themselves gather in prayer and seek to discern how they are to interact and engage this world, that we know there are others struggling with that lion's voice in their midst, trying to remain faithful to the voice of the Good Shepherd, just like us, engaged in that same struggle and that same ordeal. And that awareness in and of itself helps us continue on in our struggle. We take courage from others engaged in this process, knowing that we are not alone. So this fellowship that we have in Christ, both in those that we can see who gather with us in prayer and those gathered across time and space who we cannot see directly in our assembly today, all of these come together to help us walk this walk of faith. We also hear in our second reading that if we're rebuked, for bearing the name of Christ, that we are clothed with the Spirit of God. So we know the Holy Spirit is with us as well. Those times that the voices of those prowling lions want to disrupt our ability to follow Christ, the Holy Spirit is at work. And we'll hear more about the Spirit's work next week. The Holy Spirit continues to anchor us in our faith, continues to draw us into connection with God and with one another. The Spirit of God reminds us that God is the one we are to go to. For indeed, we hear that we can cast all our anxieties upon God. We can unburden ourselves because God cares for us, because God wants to help us navigate this world, because God wants to carry these burdens. And I would venture a guess that many times the roaring lion wants to pile those burdens and anxieties onto us, make us worried and concerned about the future, about the present, make us think that the way we see the world functioning and behaving is so terrible and wrong and off that there's nothing that could ever happen to redeem and restore it. The Spirit of God shows us a different picture. We cast all of our anxieties upon God and recognize the truth that God can bring about healing, redemption, and restoration in and through and above all things. That in God we know the end of the story, and that is where we are headed. It is not hopelessness. It is not despair. It is not seeing our neighbor and thinking how wrong they are, but it is seeing instead the good news that God is at work in this world, and we then can have confidence that God can redeem and restore all that we see. And this gives us courage to interact with our neighbors, to call them to see the same vision, to hear about the goodness and mercy and loving kindness of God, and to repent together of the things that we do wrong, and to know that God will lead us and restore us in these paths that lead to wholeness and redemption. Indeed, what we need is this word of God drawing near to us still. And that is what we hear happening in our gospel reading today. Jesus' prayer to the Father communicates this ongoing presence of Christ with us. Even as we know that Jesus is being taken out of the world, at least in the way in which his bodily presence was, he's also saying he's united with his followers and united with God in such a way that we are never fully removed from one another. And Jesus says that we have this same word that he had received from the Father and has shared with us. We still have the same promises. We still have the same good news that Christ proclaimed. That we hear that Jesus revealed to us the gift of eternal life. And that gift is the knowledge and awareness of God and the one whom God sent, Jesus Christ, God's own Son. In short, what I hear Jesus saying in this prayer is a reminder to us that we have all that we need already. Jesus says, I have done all that you have asked of me, O God. I've finished the work you've given me to do. And now they can hear this completeness in me. I have shared all these things with them. And they can now draw near to us at any time. We hear, again, this unity that the Son has with the Father and the Father has with the Son. And we also hear this unity that Jesus prays for us to know as we are protected from that roaring lion, so that we can be drawn together in this one love of God that unites us to Christ, to God, to each other. In all of this, what we hear is that Jesus still promises presence with us. So it says that Christ will hold us close, that this word of God can still be known to us. And in fact, that is exactly what still happens today in this meal that we share. Christ is made known to us. In the breaking of the bread, we know that Christ has drawn near in bread and wine, body and blood, and we are drawn ever more deeply into the unity Christ longs for us to have with God and with one another. Here in this feast, we see the good news that Christ is still with us. Christ is still present with us and still sharing with us God's word, And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are still drawn together with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are still drawn together with all those of every time and place with whom we have true fellowship, thanks to Christ. As we find ourselves so united with God and with one another in this feast, we have our hearts and our souls unburdened from our anxieties. We lay them all down as we receive Christ. And we go forth from this place in joy, ready to celebrate and share the love of Christ, ready to make known the good news that our risen Lord is still with us, that Christ still invites us to know his presence in this world and in this place. And we who have seen our risen Lord, who know that yes, Christ is in heaven, but is also still somehow here with us, must still cry out our joyous cry of Easter. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.